Now to Te Waipounamu, just north of Kaikoura, in the beautiful Clarence Valley. Rick King is a second-generation farmer there at Middle Hill Station. But some big changes on the property mean he no longer goes mustering on the steep hills with his dogs. Cosmo Kentish-Barnes has been finding out why.
We've put a vineyard in, and which has taken about 2 years, and Genevieve, my daughter, and her partner have put a bike park in, and they're running what animals are left, what deer are left. Sheep have gone, cattle have gone.
No more sheep?
No more sheep, sadly, because I liked my sheep, but they had to go because there's no room left.
Tell me about the farm. How long have you been here? And, yeah, when did you first start farming?
We've been here since 1964, when my father bought it. And Julia, my wife, and I took over in 1985, and we've been farming sheep, beef and deer up until 2 years ago.
Mm. And how big is the station?
It's now only 520 hectares. It was 3,200 hectares, and we went through tenure review and retired all the back country, or most of the back country. But it wasn't an easy farm to farm, so... Yeah, this is a whole new way of farming for me.
Why did you decide to stop traditional farming? Because that would have been a big decision.
It was a huge decision, but it was probably an economical decision after tenure review, when we had less land to run livestock on, and we had to think about diversifying into something that was going to provide for three families. So, yeah, we've had to diversify and intensify.
So will your son and Genevieve, your daughter, live on the property as well with their families?
No, Will doesn't. Will builds boats in Christchurch, and he is involved with the vineyard, and Genevieve wasn't really interested in the grapes. She was more interested in the rugged side of the property. And so they've done other things with that, as you know.
Was part of this change linked to farm succession?
Yes, yeah. Well, 15 years ago I looked at doing grapes, and we actually signed a deal with a company from Florida who were interested in buying it and putting grapes in. And then the GFC came along and it all fell through.
What's the GFC?
The global financial crisis. And then we re-looked at it again just before the earthquake, really. And then the earthquake put it all on hold, and then away we went again. Yeah.
And so has it been a challenging process, farm succession?
Yes. Yes, it was. It wasn't easy. We had to subdivide to make the whole thing work so that the grapes are in one block. And Joe and I have got our own little block left, and Genevieve and Morgs have got their block, and we've still got a hill country block out here, which we're hoping to do carbon credits on, and maybe a trophy block or whatever.
And the vineyards in front of us, how much land do they take up on the flats?
The whole vineyard is 93 hectares, and that's the area. And there's 60 hectares, or just under 60 hectares of canopy of actual grapes. So,
and it's all literally just gone in?
Yeah.
Since a year ago?
Since September last year. Well, we started pulling deer fences out, and my brother started contouring and tidying the place up, building this dam about 2 years ago. So we're looking at the Pinot block, which is only 4.5 hectares. It's the only Pinot on the vineyard, and the rest of it is Sauv Blanc. And, yeah, the first plants went in last September, and then the posts, and then the wires, and, yeah, it's been a busy couple of years.
Did you put some crops in before the grapes went in?
Yes, we did. We cropped all the flats with barley and peas, just to try and clean things up a bit, and harvested that last March.
It must have been such a process, putting in 60 hectares of grapes.
Yeah, well, it's all credit to my brother, David, who's developed vineyards around Blenheim and in the Arbitrary.
Okay, so he's got a lot of experience in that area.
He's got all that. Yeah, well, he put his hand up. I thought he was retiring, but I said, would you like to develop one more? So he's been here doing, flat out doing that for the last 2 years.
And I guess this land here would have been your prime grazing land.
Yeah, and we used to finish all the deer on these flats, and we've irrigated all these flats where the grapes are. And now we've had to redo all the irrigation for the grapes, obviously, because it's a whole different system.
And the Clarence, the mighty Clarence River, flows along the edge of the vineyard?
Yes, it does, yep.
Is there any risk of flooding?
There's always a risk living beside an angry river, and that's another thing. We've spent just months removing huge rocks out of the vineyard, and we've utilised those rocks for flood protection along the Clarence.
Has it cost heaps of money to put these grapes in?
Huge, yep. But not as much as it would have if we had left it another year.
Because of COVID?
Yes, well, luckily my brother got onto it really quickly when we decided to go ahead with the vineyard and ordered all the material. So we had the material sitting on hand for a year. If we had left it another year, it might have been marginal to have done it.
Mm. Have you funded this all yourselves, or have you got partners in?
No, we've got some partners in with us. We didn't have to. We could have done it ourselves and borrowed a lot more, but I didn't want to take the risk at my age, all the risk. I've been doing that all my life, so we decided to take some investors in as well.
When do you expect to harvest your first grapes?
We talked about harvesting 2023, but we've decided not to now, and we're going to wait till 24 because of trying to grow the plants out, trying to get them better established. It's like growing hoggets out, I suppose. We're just giving them a better chance.
Yeah, that will pay off in the long run.
Yeah, we might suffer with no income for a couple of years, but it'll pay off.
And are you going to bottle the wine and have your own brand, or will you on-sell the grapes?
The grapes will be on-sold. We're basically just cropping farmers for Indervin and Villa Maria, who we've got a contract with.
Do you want me to get this? Now we are heading down to the lower blocks of grapevines. And right now we are sitting on a fault line that came up 12 metres after the earthquake.
Yes, it's one of the biggest land upheavals ever recorded, uplifts. So we ended up having to put about 20 big groins in here to stop the Clarence taking away any more good land. It took 4 hectares out after the earthquake, which we didn't really need happening.
That's a lot of land.
It had enough damage as it was.
Because the epicentre of the earthquake was on your farm, really, wasn't it?
Yes, near it. Well, the Papatea Fault goes right through us. It just follows the limestone right to the sea. You're looking at it right there. But the positive side of it, Cosmo, is the geologists tell us that it only ruptures once every 5,000 years, so I feel reasonably safe. Yeah.
What have been the biggest challenges you've faced putting in a huge vineyard here?
In some of these free-draining riverbed areas, the rocks have been major, and huge rocks, sort of 4 or 5 ton rocks. We spent weeks here with tractors and grabs and, just getting rid of the rocks. And then we put a rock crusher through these stony blocks down here, and that turned it into dirt, turned rocks into dirt. As you can see, this was all covered in rocks out here.
Well, I guess the hard work is done, and now it's just a matter of watching and waiting.
It is, yeah. Waiting for an income. Start paying some of it back.
So this is one big change on the farm, and the other one is what your daughter Genevieve is doing on the hill blocks with her mountain bike park.
Yeah, well, that's a whole new operation as well. Something I didn't believe would happen, but it has, and it's fantastic.
Back at the yard, Genevieve is waiting to take me up to the mountain bike park. And although it's her main focus, she still enjoys a bit of traditional farming.
I really like the deer. I like working with them. And when we drive just to the top of the saddle here, we'll look down on what's left of the deer farm, what hasn't been converted into grapes. So we've got just about 100 hinds there. And it's cool that the deer farm started in the 70s with my dad and my grandfather capturing them out the back and teaching themselves how to farm deer. So that was Dad's kind of diversifying, and now we're building a bike park.
So as part of the farm succession, your brother's more involved with the vineyard, whereas you have decided to branch out and develop this adventure park.
Yeah, it all was sort of a dream. Oh, it must have been around, even before the earthquake actually, I bought my first bike. I used to travel to snowboard. That was sort of how I spent my 20s and got a bit sick of being so transient. So I tried to switch to mountain biking, didn't have anywhere to ride here. So I started building a trail with no idea what I was doing along this ridge behind us here.
Okay.
So I had this beautiful trail along the flat ridge, and then you'd get to the end where it's really steep and there was no trail anymore. You just had to carry the bike down. And then I met my partner Morgan, who is a trail builder and a talented one at that. And he had a dream of turning his dad's farm into a bike park. So the rest is history, really. We've teamed up and built a bike park. Mm. It actually happened. This wacko dream everybody thought I was, you know, just dreaming, but it's here.
It's open and it's being used.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going well.
And when I last saw you about 6 years ago, you were feeding workers who were repairing the highway.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a totally different
You had
track.
A food truck.
Yep, I had a food truck. I think cooking for 30 road workers for a year and a half was enough of a taste into the hospitality world for me. Food truck's gone. But I was so lucky. It was such a great opportunity.
They were doing the post-earthquake repairs, weren't they?
Getting State Highway 1 reopened. So they would come up from Christchurch each at the end of the weekend and fly from Kaikoura over the slips to Clarence. And, they were there for the week. And I fed them, with my friend Geordie. So that was just an opportunity I never saw coming, really.
Did that help fund the early stages of the bike park?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Well, you're looking at our digger right there. That was probably the first major purchase. Mm. Morgan and I bought a digger together. And after that catering contract, we were able to sort of live pretty cheaply here for a year and not do much other work and just really sink our teeth into building a bike park. And it's definitely a labour of love. You wouldn't add up the hours we've spent building trails and expect to be paid off yet.
Well, let's head up there now and hopefully we'll come across Morgan and some bikers.
Hello.
Shall we just meet you at the saddle?
Well, I'm waiting for the guys to come down.
Oh, okay. I'll just whip over. We'll see you there.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, cool.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. Are you just waiting for some bikers?
Yeah, I dropped them off at the top and they're on their way down now. Should be able to, usually you hear them hooting and hollering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Just like that, actually.
Have you always had a love for mountain biking or downhill biking?
Only in the last, I'd say 12 years, I think. Mm. 12 years ago, I had a first go on a mountain bike. Yeah, and it was a downhill bike. And I was hooked instantly.
Why?
I'd ridden a lot of dirt bikes, like motocross bikes and farm bikes and that. And then this, this lightweight bike with big forks on it, you could run into anything.
Yeah. In fact, there's...
And here's some
one
now.
Of them just turning up now at great
speed.
Oh,
they come down there. Flying down. There's a big jump there.
So people bike down and you take them up?
Basically, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's not just for the experienced adrenaline seekers. It's also quite a treat if you're used to mountain biking, you know, self-powered, pedaling yourself around. Mm. It's quite a treat to just focus on the downhill aspect for a day. So Nick and Ash here, they both work for us.
And where are you guys from?
Kaikoura.
Yeah.
Own a shop in town, Coastal Sports. Yeah.
How nice to have this on your doorstep.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. I moved here 20 years ago. When these guys opened up, it just completed Kaikoura.
Yeah, yeah. Because there was nothing like this up until now.
No, nothing at all. Yeah. No, it's phenomenal to have this here. You know, just, like I said, completes the picture. You got your surfing, you're diving, hunting, now biking. It's just outdoor dream.
Do you have to have a sophisticated bike to come down?
You want
here?
A good quality bike, yeah. Like, good brakes, good suspension goes a long way. But you can still rattle your way down on something pretty basic.
When you were a child, what did these hills look like?
Well, I remember this face below us here being quite clear. Well, really clear. And the face behind us, actually, that was clear. So that actually was clear more recently. Dad was still running merinos up there. So, yeah, it comes back. The bush comes back really quick, especially the tawhini we're standing in front of. Dad always, you know, called it scrub. But when we were trail building, we found when you cut down one tawhini bush, there's just a whole host of baby kanuka, manuka underneath. So giant nurseries, and they come up really quick. Yeah.
Some of the kanuka trees are 4 or 5 metres high already.
Oh, easy, yeah. Yeah, some of them are monsters. That's amazing, really, considering that this face was clear when I was little.
Is your plan just to let it grow and grow?
Yeah, yep, we're already going down the path to register it for carbon credits. So we won't be running sheep, that's for sure. I've seen how much hard work's involved in that. We like the hard work of trail building and then enjoying that. You know, well done to Dad, but it's your passion has to be there to do that. Yes. And then we definitely won't want cattle up here because they would just ruin the trails.
How many kilometres of track have you got, and how tough was it cutting the tracks and making them bikeable?
Yeah, we're probably getting up towards 20 kilometres. It's a whole network, so there's a range of different trails, different grades.
Yeah.
Some of them were hand-built, so just with grubbers and a chainsaw. Others we've used digger on. The funnest part for me was that process before we had a business to run, before I had a baby to feed, you know, just being out here in the bush, figuring out where it was all going to go. And then it was just Morgs and I was on the chainsaw clearing ahead of him, and he was on the digger. And yeah, it's really addictive, you know. You go out with some snacks and a little bit of water, and you come back hours later just so thirsty, you know. You think you're going to be home so much earlier, but you go, oh, just to the next corner, just to the next. But yeah, it's rewarding work.
Now, you're daughter is, what, 8 months old?
Yeah.
How has that changed your life in terms of farming and, you know, running this new business?
It's a real challenge, obviously. I knew it was going to be a real challenge, but I guess you just don't fully understand that when an idea popped into my head, I would just go for it. You know, if it was something out on the hill or even something where I needed to work in the office, I could just get a whole lot done. Well, getting a whole lot done looks a bit different now. So learning how to have staff and manage them and try and offload some work onto them. So Nick and Ashley have been a really great addition to the team. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Sienna being that little bit bigger so she can come toddling out with us, and this will be part of her life growing up, just like it was for me growing up, tagging along with Dad.
Genevieve King talking to Cosmo Kentish Barnes at the Middle Hill Mountain Bike Park in the Clarence Valley, just north of Kaikoura.